I was scared for my daughter's life, and she was still in my womb. So I texted my brothers and I said, how are we going to save her life? How are we going to do this?
Welcome to Powwow Life Podcast from powwows.com, connecting you with Native culture since 1996. Here's your host, Paul Gowder.
Welcome to Powwow Life. This is the show here at powwows.com where I help you explore, experience, and connect with Native culture. Today, I'm really excited to talk about the new season, season 5 of Taken. Taken focuses on solving the cases of missing and murdered Indigenous people in Canada and honoring their stories. These stories are so important to get out there and to tell and share. So I hope you'll take a moment, sit back and listen to this interview with the producers of the show, and then tune in and watch the stories of these missing and murdered people.
In 2019, Taken aired the last of its 52 episodes, sharing the stories of 60 missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, men, boys, and Two-Spirit people. That same year, the National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls in Canada released its Calls for Justice, an action plan for systemic change. With few calls for justice implemented, and with more Indigenous people going missing and experiencing violence every day, Taken is back to honor the stories of those who are gone and to support their loved ones in their pursuit of justice. This season on Taken, we'll share the stories of 14 more missing and murdered Indigenous people from across the country, and we'll dig into the systemic issues that connect them. What has changed for families since Taken last aired? How can we each take action and do our part to implement the calls for justice? What are advocates, families, and allies doing to create safety for Indigenous people in Canada, once and for all?
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. We'll just start off with, if you don't mind introducing yourselves. Lisa, you want to go first?
My name is Lisa Meeches. I am from Long Plains First Nation, which is in southern Manitoba. And I produce feature films and television shows. And I get to work with my amazing relative, Dene Robinson, from the next reserve over.
I'm Dene Robinson. I was born and raised in Winnipeg, but my family comes from Swan Lake First Nation. As Lisa mentioned, it's just the next reserve over. I work as head of content for EcoVision, and I also work as a writer, director, and show creator.
Awesome. Now, Lisa, most people here watching probably know you for something else. You've been involved with Manitowabi since the beginning. I want to start there because you got some things going on with Manitowabi. Tell us what's going to happen this year.
Well, we're moving back to the original venue, which is downtown Winnipeg, so Canada Life Center. So it used to be called, for those who attended in the beginning, and the MTS Center. And that's where NHL National Hockey League team plays, the Winnipeg Jets. And so we asked the NHL, can you squeeze us in? And, you know, we need to move a few things around. And so we actually got our way. And so lovely to say, and you're all invited to one of Canada's largest multidisciplinary events, Manitowabi Festival. So we will be celebrating our 21st year next October, so next Halloween. And we have a lot of exciting announcements to make. And you know what it's like when you're making power announcements. It's got to be just timely and, you know, announcing head staff and other, like the other components built within the festival. So something to do for everybody, which is why, you know, producing an event or producing events like what we do, we produce those events for our people and others, because that's what we deserve. We deserve nothing but epic. We deserve nothing but epic. And it's about time. But during those kind of gatherings, we want our people to also be safe. safe in their travels, safe when they're leaving back to their traditional territories. So there are things that we can do right now as parents and grandparents, like preparing messages, don't drive alone, you know, those kind of things. Don't gas up at night, all those kind of things. But, you know, it sparks a very, very, very big question. What are we as parents and grandparents doing to protect our young men, to protect our women folk? You know, and you know as well as I do, it's you know, the kind of chances powwow people take to get to grand entry. And some of our, you know, some of our powwow people and some of our volunteers at the festival, believe it or not, Paul, have gone missing. And it's not like families are looking, they're continually looking. And so Danae and myself and our other partner, Rebecca, Kyle, we decided that enough's enough. And so when I had my daughter, Stevie, do you remember that, Paul? And Miss, when I was hobbling around there and I was scared for my daughter's life and she was still in my womb. So I text my brothers and I said, how are we going to save her life? How are we going to do this? And just then we got wind of a big case in Manitoba of this young lady whose body was found dismembered, Tina Fontaine. And that shook everybody's world. Everybody was shaken by that. And so, and, you know, that led to a number of actions by people at the time who didn't have authority but had the gusto. No Stone Unturned concert was taking place. Drag the Red, our license plate program, all of these things were designed by the families of the missing and murdered. And so has the show that Danae and our and I are, well, she's the showrunner and she's a hell of a director, one heck of a writer. She's Anishinaabe. And, but, you know, I'm doing all the talking tonight, fit in wherever where you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely. As Lisa mentioned, so Taken, it was airing, there's about four seasons, and then that's when the National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls was happening in Canada here. And I think the team had hoped that that inquiry would make a big difference and that we would see some changes. But unfortunately, here we are, you know, 5 years later, and Taken needs to come back. And after careful consultation with community members, with family members, law enforcement, allies, the decision was decided that we should bring Taken back and help share the stories and, you know, hopefully bring some resolution for the families and the community members, and that the families especially could get closure onto what happened to their loved one who has been missing or who has been murdered.
So, Paul, the show was designed in such a way where a person who doesn't know this individual that they're going to be watching, we allow the audience to fall in love with them, see them as little kids, hear from their community members and their loved ones. So by midway of that half hour, you're like, let's find her. And then unfortunately, we have to talk about the day they went missing, the night they went missing, what led to that. And so we have to talk about, you know, the things that we don't want to talk about, but we still, you know, the families aren't sugarcoating this by any means. They're not sugarcoating this, but what we're trying to do is shake down once again, ask in a good way from our community. What do you know? Someone knows something. Someone has to have seen something. Don't be afraid. And this, unfortunately, Paul, is just not in Winnipeg. This is national. This is international. Like, what are we doing as an Indigenous community? I know we have specials at powwows and stuff like that, and we're doing every effort to raise awareness, but are we really? Are we really? And so I put a challenge out there to whether it's leadership, whether it's the other family members that, you know, this is not going to happen to us, and boom, it happens. You know, this is a scary time for our people, not just our men and women and boys and girls, but Indian people all over the place, you know, and so we have to be good relatives. We have to take care of each other, especially powwow people. We dance for life. That's why we dance. We dance, you know, for each other, for life, for those older ones, for people who can't dance. And after we delivered the first season, Paul, I lost my ability to dance. I lost my ability to talk. And the way it was told to me in ceremony is those women wanted you to know what it felt to be like them. To not have a voice, to be with, you know, to try and cry and nobody hears you. Because that's what it was like when I had my stroke. That was my lesson learned. Now, what am I going to do with the rest of my time? How am I going to help? You know, how am I going to help our people be a good relative? You have a daughter, Paul,
Yeah. And,
you know, so grateful, you know, that you have opportunities for her. And man, I'm so proud of her.
Thank you.
And, you know, I want Stevie to be just like her. And, you know, that's so important that she has her mom and her dad by her side. And that's what we should have for our young women. That's exactly what our young people need, is parents like you and Kelly, that support her dreams, your baby's dreams. Well, I'm going on and on and on.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It is hard as a parent to let them go and pursue the dream, and being so far away, it is tough. One of the things I agree with you that there are many powwows trying to raise awareness for the missing and murdered problem. But what you guys do at Manitowabi and with the show is you're putting names and faces to it. And that's different. And I think that makes a connection. So talk to me a little bit about how you are choosing these stories and you know what you're hoping people will learn from this, besides just making that connection that it's an actual person. You know, what do you hope that the audience takes from these stories?
Go ahead, Danae.
So how we gathered the stories was very much community outreach. We had people reach out to the show or just research that we have conducted. But I know Lisa will say a lot of the work that we do is rooted in ceremony. We have faith in knowing that the families who were ready and wanted to share would come to us at the right time. And that's exactly how it happened. Everything fell into place, we believe, the way it was meant to. I know it sounds a little weird because Taken is seen as a true crime show, but we don't see Taken as a true crime show. We see it as, like, when I think of Taken, I think of the word love, because I think of all of the love that went into making this show. All of the care that went into the show. Some of the people that we had on crew have experience working in non-for-profit organizations within community. Some people worked on the National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. So we implemented a lot of those protocols and a lot of those processes in how we communicated with the families and how we handled the stories. And it's not just family members that we reached out to. We reached out to law enforcement, a lot of the people who are working actively on the cases, allies. So what the show really highlights is how important these stories are and how loved these people are and that people care about their stories. I know a lot of the times we know, missing and murdered Indigenous stories do not go highly publicized in regular media. So Taken allows us to really highlight these stories, honor them. And so many times a lot of the family members have said to us is, we have never gotten to spoke about them in this way. Nobody has ever asked us these questions before about them. And all of the feedback we get is positive, and they're grateful to us, and we are very grateful to them for trusting us with the story, with their loved one's story.
Yeah, and season one, we worked with all media outlets to change how they were discussing our women. We did a blanket teaching for all the newsrooms across the country on, no, these are not prostitutes. These are not hookers. These are loved ones. These are someone's daughters. She had a spirit name. She was a powwow dancer. I danced with that girl. These are people, you know, Paul, and I know you feel the same way I do, being a big powwow person that you are. You know, we can't stop. We can't stop. And we have to keep looking, especially the families are tired. They're tired. And, you know, Winnipeg is really famous for, you know, Drag the Red and, you know, the landfill camps that we kept going for 2 years. And, you know, would Wob and his government have been able to bring in terms of the, you know, the work that they've been able to provide for the families and for those lodges that were out there, because Manitoba is seen as a beautiful place to pray. And we pride ourselves on the amount of Indigenous people that we have gathered, you know, in this amazing city, but not as targets. We want people to come to this territory and feel safe and be safe. But that also means that you got to be smart.
Yeah. So one of the things I find interesting is in the powwow world, this issue is known. But when I'm talking with people down here in South Carolina, maybe aren't familiar, there's a big disconnect with other, you know, people not knowing what this is. And I know these stories aren't getting mainstream media attention. So, and I'm hoping your story, you're telling these stories will help change some of that. But for the people who are out there that don't even know that this is an issue, how do they get involved? How do they educate themselves? What would you tell them? Like, what's the call to action for them?
You know what? I saw a documentary on a young lady by the name of Gabby Petito. And Gabby Petito's family, unfortunately, she was taken too early, and she was lured on social media that life really fit her. And so that young lady left her home fire, left her parents, you know, hoping to start her life with this man, and she went missing. And they found her later on deceased, but her parents, the Petitos, didn't realize that there's actually a difference when one of us goes missing and reported compared to a light-skinned, blonde-haired girl. And the Petitos recognized that and were astonished and alarmed at the amount of numbers of missing and murdered that we have as an Indian nation. And so we've reached out the Petitos, and you know, I would say to your area, your tribal area, watch that documentary. That would be something that you could watch, and it's never ending. Like, we will always look for our women, our men, our boys and girls, our two spirit. There's so many two spirit that have gone missing. And we just got to wake up. We got to teach and remind us. We value life. We are a community that values life. And so with saying that, it is really sad. I know a lot of people that have gone missing, you know, and different provinces and different states. I know lots of people that have gone missing. And I believe that if it wasn't for, you know, having Stevie in my life, if it wasn't for Stevie in my life, maybe I wouldn't have paid attention the way I did. You know, because raising two little boys is easy. You know, they're buddies. But Stevie's a little girl. And that's why I became afraid for her life. I watch her she's never out of my sight. You know, and I know how you feel about your girl, Hall, and your son, Danae. And that's why we do this work, is because it's dangerous out there.
Yeah, it's scary times. I was at a conference this weekend, and I find how far these stories go or don't go right now. I was at a conference, and we were talking about it. There's actually a lady that lives here in my neighborhood that was kidnapped as a teenager, and there's a Lifetime movie about her. And I was telling people at the conference that everybody had seen the movie. Everybody knew about it. But then you say,
What was the name of the movie?
I knew you were going to ask me that. Hold on. Her name is Kara Chamberlain. And it is Escaping Captivity. And she lives right down the street. And everybody at the conference had heard of that. And most of them had watched that Lifetime movie. And then I, you know, follow that up with, well, do you know any stories about Indigenous? And no, they're like, that's a problem. So it's really interesting to see that, it's crazy.
Yeah, there's like a big difference in how they're reported to police and how there's inaction by police agencies when we have the biggest casinos in almost every state.
Right.
Right? Like, why is this still a problem? Same with Manitoba, all of our provinces, they have, like, why isn't a lot of that, those dollars contributed to finding our loved ones?
Yeah. So if somebody is wanting to watch this, how can we see the show?
You can watch on APTN. It might be geo-blocked in your area, so you'll have to... They now have an APTN Plus.
Okay.
And so that APTN Plus or Lumi Network.
All right.
So we just started a brand new season. I think our third episode is going to be aired tonight, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they will re-air at different times. So with seasons 1 to 4, we are now finding our own home for them. We're going to be putting them either on a smart channel or a YouTube channel.
Right. Okay. Awesome. That'd be great.
And as a matter of fact, FNX in LA, I just acquired the rights too.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. All right. I think most people know about that. Okay. Great. Well, I appreciate you guys spending some time with me and thank you for telling these stories and bringing this forward. It is something that more and more people do need to see this.
You bet. And thank you for your encouragement, Paul. You've always been a good relative, and you know, I've relied on you for so many things. But congratulations on all the work that you do.
Thank you.
Audio post-production by Alphonic.com.